Good morning. Today's daf in Shabbos Kuf Tes Vav. We're starting this morning the 16th parak of the Masechta. Before we begin the parak, let's just note that we're entering into a new phase of the Masechta. For the last four parakim, parakims 12, 13, 14, and 15, so we discussed the Malachas of Shabbos. And the Mishnayos and the Gemara have went back to the seventh parak where the listing of the 39 malachos were presented, and went over an assortment of the various malachos that were given over there. The Gemara on Ein Gimel presents the 39 malachos. The Gemara there just made very short comments regarding each one of the malachos, and for the last four parakim, from 12 through 15, the Gemara went through each one of them with a little bit more detail and more precision. Now, as we enter into the 16th parak of the Masechta, so we are going to be discussing some of the considerations or the concerns of the Chachamim vis-a-vis Shabbos. The Mishnah over here is going to run through a scenario in which Rachmanis, a person's house is on fire on Shabbos, and what can be done under those situations where the house is on fire. Now, obviously, the temptation is to put out the fire. And let's say this from the very beginning, even though the Mishnah is not going to make this comment today, but it is obvious, and I'm going to speak it out, is that if there's any life that's in peril or in danger, if there's any sekanas nefashos, so then, obviously, you put out the fire. The assumption, of course, is that if you're living in a densely packed community and your house is on fire, so not only is your life going to be at stake, but other lives as well. And so therefore, any possibility of sekanas nefashos, so the halacha is very clear, you put out the fire. Putting out the fire is a malach of kivui, but for saving a life, so one is mechal Shabbos. So under those circumstances, there is nothing to discuss and there is no deliberation. So let's just make that clear from the very onset. The entire Mishnah and Gemara's discussion over here is going to be working with the assumption that it is clear that no life is in jeopardy, no life is in peril, and the only question now becomes the saving of assets and property. And under those circumstances, what we're going to be discussing over the course of the Mishnah and the Gemara is what can be saved from the house and what cannot be saved from the house. What are the considerations? So there are a couple of considerations. One, well, there's one really main consideration, and that is that the more you're going to end up saving from the house, the more you're going to realize that you're suffering financial loss. Now, the more that this is going to upset you, the more tempted you are to put out the fire. Putting out the fire under the circumstances where there is no loss of life is going to be a violation of Shabbos. It's going to be a malach on Shabbos. And so what the Chachamim came up with is a strategy in which the Chachamim were very selective in terms of what you can go in and save. And so therefore, the amount of emotional toil that you're going to experience is going to be diminished, and you will not be tempted to put out the fire. That's the general strategy that the Chachamim employed when going into the house and saving things. So what are you going to save? So the first thing you're probably going to look for is if you have any Sfarim, you're going to want to save the Sfarim, and that is what we're going to be starting with in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is going to be talking about what Sfarim can be saved and what Sfarim cannot be saved. And it will be this 16th parak of the Masechta is going to be great, super fascinating, is that we're going to be basically using this as a platform of qualifying what is a sefer and what is not a sefer. And keep in mind, when we talk about Sfarim, obviously now our Sfarim come in the form of books and they're bound. But back in the day, their Sfarim, of course, were scrolls. And obviously their Sfarim were made up of Tanakh. And obviously they didn't have Mishnayos and Gemara. That was Torah Shebaal Peh. So a discussion in terms of what qualifies as a sefer and what could be taken out, and that's going to be our discussion over here in the 16th parak of the Masechta. Let's start with the Mishnah. Mishnah begins called Kisvei Kodesh Matzil Nasom Mimnei Adleika. So anything that has the status of Kisvei Kodesh, look at the first Rashi on the Mishnah. Kigon Torah Nevim Ksuvim. So Rashi says that we're covering the entire breadth of Tanakh. V'lo Teimer Torah Lachud Hu Deshari L'Mitzrach Latzuli V'lo Shar Sfarim. Rashi suggests that one could have thought that we're just limiting our comments over here to just simply a Sefer Torah. Rashi says no. Over here in terms of the Hatzal, in terms of the saving, the salvaging of Sfarim, so we're incorporating, we're including all of Tanakh. So back to the Mishnah, Kol Kitzvei Kosher Matzil Nasod Mibnei Adleika. So you're allowed to save all Kitzvei Kosher from a fire, Bein Shekorin Behem, Bein Shein Korin Behem. Whether you read it or whether you don't read it. Now, whether you read it or you don't read it, that is an interesting line of the Mishnah. What does that mean, whether you read it or you don't read it? So we're going to see a Rashi in just a moment. Where are you taking these Sfarim to? Meaning you're taking them out of the house. So where are you allowed to take them to? So obviously, if your house abuts a Rishus Harabim, so that obviously presents a significant problem, because now what you're doing is you're violating the Malacha of Hotzah. So obviously we're not describing a scenario where directly outside of your house is a Rishus Harabim, because then you'd be violating the Malacha. And again, we're not saving life over here. We're saving property, obviously holy property, but nevertheless, one's not allowed to violate Nisa D'Oraisa. So what are we describing over here? So if you take a look at Rashi, the second Rashi in the Mishnah, Matzil Nosam, Kediktan Lakam, and Lamavu Shenem Afulash. So Rashi writes over here that we're talking about your house is abutting. And probably Rashi over here is describing your chatzir, but either way, it's abutting a Mavui. A Mavui is an alleyway. It's basically where all the courtyards spill out into. It's Enem Afulash. It does not open up on both sides. That means to say that it is surrounded by three walls. And therefore, the Mavui is a Rishus HaYachid in of itself. V'tirchahu ba'amu d'shariba. V'chisarun eruv. So Rashi makes 2 points over here. One is that obviously this constitutes a tircha, meaning this is going to be laborious. Now, a labor of love, of course, you're saving a Sefer Torah, but nevertheless, it's going to involve a tircha. So one could have argued that the Chachamim wouldn't have allowed it because of the tircha. So the allowance over here is, despite the fact that it's a tircha, and two, says Rashi, is that there's no Eruv. Even in a situation where there's no Eruv, which means that rabbinically, one is not allowed to take the Sefer Torah from his house and from his chatzir into the Mavui, because there's no Eruv, there's nothing that unify the properties. So even though it's a violation of rabbinic law to do so, nevertheless the Chachamim allowed it in the interest of salvaging a Sefer Torah, or all of Tanakh for that matter. Good. And we're going to be discussing this in much greater detail in terms of where you're taking the Sefer Torah. But Rashi over here highlights what the Chiddush of the Mishnah is. Now, the Mishnah describes that we're talking about Sfarim, both that you read and both and that which you don't read. So what are the Sfarim that you don't read? Isn't there an interest to read all of Tanakh? Now, I know that we are lax in that area, but in general, what is the Mishnah describing? So Rashi over here writes, Bein Shein Korin Bahem. So Rashi says that when we're describing the portion of Tanakh that we don't read, so we're talking about Ksuvim. Now, that obviously demands an explanation. Rashi continues. Rabbi Alevi Amar, the afilu yechidim in Korin Bahem. Now, even individuals do not read the Ksuvim, k'tekanin ta'ima mishum bitol beis ha-medrash. And the reason why is as follows. Because when it comes to the Ksuvim, so Ksuvim in terms of human interest has got the greatest concentration of human interest. And here's what's going to happen, explains Rashi, quoting one of his Rebbein. That if you read the Ksuvim, so it'll lead to Bitzel Beis HaMedrash. The Mashche Liba, that because what's going to end up happening is that as you read the Ksuvim, so you're going to be extraordinarily interested. Now on Shabbos, that is not a time to be involved in the reading of Ksuvim. Rashi says even individuals. Because what one should be doing on Shabbos is heading to shul, because the rabbi is going to be darshaning over there in shul. During the rest of the week, he's involved in work. He's not going to have the amount of time to dedicate to learning. So on Shabbos, he should be going to shul. And in shul, so the rabbi is going to be speaking, and he's going to be speaking about halacha. What you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. V'tov lam l'shmo melekros b'ksuvim. Better that they should hear the halacha rather than reading in the ksuvim. Okay. So as a result of this, so ksuvim, generally speaking, are not read on Shabbos. And so when the Mishnah is describing that we're talking about all of Tanakh, both the portion that's read and the portion that's not read, well, the portion that's read, obviously, is the Chumash itself, and the Nevi'im, because we know that Haftarah is also instituted to be read on Shabbos, and the Haftarah is coming from the Nevi'im, but not ksuvim. Ksuvim should be read, and we just went through a really interesting Rashi in terms of why it is that ksuvim is not to be read on Shabbos. Anyway, going back to the Mishnah, Girsa in terms of whether there's a vav there, even though they're written in any language. Meaning Tanakh does not necessarily have to be written in Lashon HaKodesh in order for it to be saved, even if it's written in any other languages, it too should be saved. That seemingly is the pshat in the Mishnah. Stay tuned as we're going to be discussing this in much greater detail in the daf today. Tunim geniza, and on top of that, it demands geniza. Again, what is that making reference to? Presumably what we just described, where I have Sfarim of Tanakh, and even though they're not written in Lashon HaKodesh, nevertheless, they need to be put in geniza. Putting geniza simply means that when the Sefer has now worn down, so then you don't dispose of it, but you put it in a protected area and let it wear down further, but in a protected area. That's geniza. And the Mishnah over here says, why aren't we reading the Tzuvim? Because of Bittul Beis HaMedrash. Well, we know what that means, but we only know what that means because Rashi offered us a pshat in terms of what that in fact means. Okay, so in our Mishnah, we are introduced to this idea that if a fire breaks out on Shabbos, so one is allowed to save Tanakh. And again, the general idea of the Mishnah is that the Chachamim were very reserved in terms of what we could salvage from the house. Because in the burning house, the more that we salvage, the more concerned and agitated we're going to get. We're going to be tempted to put out the fire. So the Chachamim limited that which we could take out of the house. And one of the things that we could take out of the house is Tanakh. We will discuss in upcoming Mishnayos, there are other things, selected items that the Chachamim allowed us to take out of the house. But right now, we're just focusing on the Sifrei Tanakh that we are going to be salvaging from the house. Let's make one more general point, and then we'll start with the Gemara. And that is, let's say the person, in fact, puts out the fire. So this is really interesting, because when a person puts out the fire, and he's doing so, not for the purposes of the extinguished house, but rather for the salvaging of the property in his house. So under those circumstances, what kind of malacha are we talking about? So if you think about it, and the more you think about it, you realize we're not talking about a malacha tzricha legufa. Malacha tzricha legufa, like we described back all the way in the second parak, is where I'm putting out a fire because I want the wick to be singed. So that is kibui, which is nistar daraisa. Over here, the kibui that I'm describing over here, I'm only extinguishing so that I can salvage the property for my house. What does it sound like I'm describing over here? Sounds like a malacha she'ina tzricha legufa. What do we know about Malacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa? We've gone over this numerous times throughout the Masechta. Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Malacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa is an Isser Daraisa. It still falls under the category of a Malacha. According to Rabbi Shimon, Malacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa is Pater. And so now, it definitely deserves a question and certainly some investigation. If I subscribe to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, we understand our Mishnah very well. Because our Mishnah says that you can't put out the fire, even though the purpose of my putting out the fire has nothing to do with the result of the extinguished fire, but rather has to do with a totally separate issue, which is the salvaging of the property of my house. That's a Malacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa. If I subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda, Malacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa, one would be Chayev, then I totally understand. But what if I subscribe to the Shita Rabbi Shimon? Malacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa is Pater, meaning that one is not violating Issur D'Oraisa, one is only violating Issur D'Rabbanan. Obviously, we are going to conform to Isuri Darabanan, but once we drop it down to an Isuri Darabanan, didn't we just learn together in the Mishnah that one is allowed to salvage the Sefer Torah despite violating Isuri Darabanan, i.e. you're moving it from your house into a Mavui that does not have an Eruv? So we already learned that one is allowed to violate Isuri Darabanan to salvage the Sefer Torah. If the purpose of putting out the fire is only to salvage, so isn't that Malacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa, and according to Rabbi Shimon, isn't that only going to be Pater? And therefore, shouldn't, according to Rabbi Shimon, shouldn't the allowance to put out the fire now override, be of a greater need, or let's say better. Shouldn't we be allowed to put out the fire, being that it's only Nisa Darabanan, according to Rabbi Shimon? So it's such a wonderful question. Now, it happens to be that this question is so strong, so the Magen Mishnah writes that the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. So we know that amongst the Rishonim, there's a debate in terms of who we hold like. So most of the Rishonim paskin like Rabbi Shimon, and Malacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa is Pater Avalasar. But the Rambam is of the position that Malacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa is one's going to be Chayv, meaning he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Magen Mishnah says it's because of this very question, meaning why doesn't our Perek allow you to put out the fire? We know it's only a malacha shein tzrich legufa. Oh, so the Rambam says, because a malacha shein tzrich legufa, our Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah, is obviously subscribing to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. That would be good if you hold like the Rambam. However, most Rishonim do not paskin like the Rambam. Most Rishonim paskin like Rabbi Shimon. How do you address the question of our Mishnah? Okay, so that obviously is going to demand a lot more investigation. I just raised it as a general discussion to be had, and it's definitely it definitely needs some sort of response. In the meantime, however, we're going to be starting with the Gemara Itmar. Hayuksuvim Targum Abacholashon. Let's say the Sfarim of Tanakh are written Targum Abacholashon. They're written in Aramaic or they're written in other languages. Rav Huna Amar Ein Matzil Nosam Mimnei Adleika. Rav Chista Omer Matzil Nosam Mimnei Adleika. So we have a debate amongst the Amoraim whether or not Sfarim that are written in other languages can be salvaged from the burning house. So Rav Huna says it cannot, and Rav Chista says that it can. Now the Gemara says, now before we even analyze this machlokes of Rav Huna and Rav Chista, we must give it context. Aliba Daman. Now it happens to be that there is a general debate. The Mishnayos in Megillah present this in some detail in terms of whether or not Sifrei Tanakh may in fact be written in other languages. And Lamanda Amar Nitnu Likros Bahem Dekulam Lo Pligi Dematzilin. Now, if you are generally of the position that Sifrei Tanakh can be written in other languages, so that means to say that the Sfarim that are written in other languages have the status of being a Sefer, and there's nothing to discuss. Within that position, clearly, one is allowed to go ahead and to salvage the Sefer Torah, or any Sefer of Tanakh, from the burning house. However, there is an opinion. The Gemara and Megillah, the Mishnah Megillah, espouses an opinion that Sfarim only have the Kedusha Sefer only when written in the original Lashna Kodesh. If they're written other languages, they do not have the status of being a Sefer. And now within this Shita, we now have a debate between Rav Huna and Rav Chista as to whether or not one is allowed to salvage these Sfarim from a burning house. Rav Huna Amarin Masilin, the Halon Nitna Likros Bahem. So Rav Huna says you cannot take them out of the burning house because they don't have this requirement of being read, meaning they don't have the status of being a Sefer. And Rav Chista Amar Masilin Mishum Bizayin Kisrei Kodesh. And Rav Chista says that look, one is allowed to salvage them because it's a Bizayun, meaning it is true that it is not the Sefer written in the original Lashna Kodesh. On the other hand, it's a translation. And because of Bizayon HaKodesh, because it would just simply be a degradation to the fact that we have now a working translation of a Sefer. And even though we're within the Shita that holds, that one shouldn't have done it, but now that it's here and it's in a burning house, so in order to preserve the Bizayon, the degradation that it would suffer if it would in fact be burnt, so therefore one is allowed to take it. So Rav Huna and Rav Chista are only arguing within the position that one shouldn't have written such a Sefer to begin with. And with that now, the Gemara is going to be spending a good amount of time analyzing the machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chista and seeing which one is a more defensible position. Tanan, we learn our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that all Kisvei Kodesh can be salvaged from the burning house, whether it's read, whether it's not read. Now, we already understood what that meant. The ones that are read on Shabbos are Nevi'im. The ones that are not read on Shabbos are Ksuvim. And V'alfa Pisha Ksuvim B'choloshim, even though they're written in any language. Now, my love, Shekorin Behem Nevi'im, V'shein Korin Behem Ksuvim. So now the Gemara is suggesting what seems to be the simple reading of the Mishnah. The Sfarim that are read are Nevi'im. The Sfarim that are not read are Ksuvim. And V'alfa Pisha Ksuvim B'choloshim. And even though it's written in any language, the lo nidnu likros bahem. And the Mishnah over here is referencing that they're written in any language, and our Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint, it shouldn't have been done, but it was done. V'ktani matzilin, and the Mishnah says that one could salvage them. So v'tiyufta de Rav Huna. If this is the right shot in the Mishnah, so then the Mishnah obviously is against the position of Rav Huna. And Rav Huna now stands against the Mishnah, and that's not a good place to stand. So amlecha Rav Huna v'tizbara. So Rav Huna says, I don't think that's the right pshat in the Mishnah. And Rav Huna says, think about it for a moment. Eima Seifa, because let's continue reading on in the Mishnah. Te'unin Gniza. The Mishnah then also offers another halacha, which is that such a Sefer requires Gniza. Now, Hashta, Asula, Metzalina, Gniza, Mibai. What would be the point of the Mishnah telling us that it requires Gniza? Rav Huna says, think about it. The Mishnah already just told us that I salvage it from a burning house. So already the Mishnah is telling us that this is something of value. I know it because if the house is on fire, and despite the fact that one is violating Isuri Derabbanan by removing it from the house, the Mishnah says you're allowed to do so. So already the Mishnah is telling us it has value. You think the Mishnah now needs to tell us, oh, and oh, by the way, it requires Geniza? If I'm saving it from a burning house, for sure it requires Geniza. So Rav Huna says, the more you think about it, the more you realize, we're obviously not saying the right pshat in the Mishnah. Ela Rav Huna matar satame, Rav Chista matar satame. And Rav Huna says, I have my understanding of the Mishnah, and Rav Chista has his understanding of the Mishnah. Rav Huna matar satame, bein shikarn behem, nevi'im, bein shein karn behem, ksuvim. So now this is Rav Huna's pshat in the Mishnah, that whether it's read, that's a reference to Nevi'im. Whether it's not read, that's a reference to Ksuvim. Ba'medvar mamorim shiksuvim b'loshna kodesh. And that's only when it's written in the original Loshna Kodesh. Ava bichol lashon. But if it's written in any other language, ein matzilin. One is not allowed to save them from the burning house. And afilo hachi ginizabo. Now, despite the fact that I will not be saving it from the burning house, nevertheless, it still demands Geniza. It still requires Geniza. So now, this is Rav Huna's pshat in the Mishnah, and now, obviously, such a pshat in the Mishnah would be in exact alignment with his own position. Rav Chista matar satame, now Rav Chista is going to explain the Mishnah based on his opinion. Bein shekorin behem nevi'im, bein shein korin behem ksuvim, af al pi shekesuvim bechol lashon, and the Mishnah here is describing Sefer, which is written in any language, nami matzilan, you also save that as well, v'hachi kamar. Now, we have to deal with the fact that now, if you're saving it from a burning house, so then it is obvious that it requires Geniza. What is the line of the Mishnah that says that it also requires Geniza? Umekek shalahen tu'unin Geniza. The idea of Geniza in the Mishnah is describing something else, and that is that let's say you have svarim that are so decomposed that basically you have the decomposition of a sefer, where you can't even read it anymore. It's basically into like dust. Under those circumstances, so does that require Geniza? That is what the Mishnah wants to teach us. That even the Mekek requires Geniza as well. Okay, so now obviously the difficulty with Rav Chisda's Pshat is that he has to insert an entirely new idea in the Mishnah, but nevertheless, once you insert that in the Mishnah, you read the Mishnah, now the Mishnah is going to be reading like Rav Chisda. Meitzvei. And the Gemara now is going to be citing other brisas, which are going to be challenges for either the position of Rav Chisda or Rav Huna. We'll see them all together. The brisa over here says that if it was written in Aramaic, meaning not in the original Lashon HaKodesh, or it was written for that matter in any language, so one is allowed to salvage this sefer from a burning house on Shabbos. To Yufta de Rav Huna, this obviously poses a difficulty for Rav Huna. So Amalecha Rav Huna, Haitana Sovereign, into the cross man. So Rav Huna says, look, you're quoting me an anonymous brisa, and on top of that, we don't know what the brisa's position is regarding what is the status of a sefer written in another language. Again, like we said in the beginning of our debate of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, but let's reiterate, the entire debate of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda is only within the position that one should not be writing any of the Sifrei Tanakh in any other language. And the only question now becomes, what if you did, do you salvage it from a burning house? Rav Huna says no, Rav Chisda says yes. But if your starting point is that you are allowed to write Sifrei Tanakh in other languages, and it has a status of being a sefer, under those circumstances, everyone's in agreement, of course you salvage it. So what Rav Huna will tell you is that the brisa you just cited, he subscribes to the position that one is allowed to write any one of the svarim in any of the languages. So it's not a question on me, because my debate with Rav Chisda is only within the other position. Continuing, Tashma, Hayiksuvim giftis midjus, Ivris ilmis yavanis, if one wrote any one of the Sifrei Tanakh in any of the other languages, and languages that, these are ancient languages, Coptic and Madai, Ivris over here does not mean Hebrew, Ivris is some other Semitic language. So, or ilmis yavanis, or in Greek, and now the brisa here says, even though you are not to read from it, meaning it does not have the status of a sefer, but you save it. To Yufsa de Rav Huna. Now this brisa is against Rav Huna. Now, this Braisa is very hard to wrangle around, because in the Braisa, it states clearly, Alpha Pishlo Nitna Lekros Behem. The Braisa over here is showing its cards on the issue of should you have written it in the other language? The Braisa says you shouldn't have. But you did, and it's in a burning house, so you're allowed to salvage it. This is obviously difficult for Ravuna. Amlecha Ravuna Tanaihi. So what Ravuna will tell you is, Machlokis Tanaim. Ditanya. Hayiksuvim Targum V'cholosho Masil Nasam Ibn Adleika. If the Sefer Torah, if any one of the Sefer Tanakh are written in Aramaic or other languages, one is allowed to save it from a burning house. This is the Tanakama of this Braisa. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ein Masil Nasam Ibn Adleika. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you're not. You're not allowed to salvage them from the house. I'm Rabbi Yossi Maisa Ba'aba Chalafta. And Rabbi Yossi is quoting his father, Abba Chalafta. Shalach Eitzel Rabbi Gamliel, who heads to, who went to Rabbi Gamliel, Berebi, Litveria, Umatusha Yoshev Al Shuchano, Shel, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nizuf, Uviyado Sefer Iyuv Targum. Now what did he have? He had Sefer Iyuv that was written in Aramaic. Vuhu Korebo, and he would read it. Amar lo zechor ani b'Rabbi Gamliel, Avi Avicha. And he says, now I remember, Rabbi Gamliel, your grandfather, Shaya Omid Agabe Malav Har Abayis, who was standing on one of the platforms in Har Abayis, the Avilofan of Sefer Iyuv Targum, and they brought him a Sefer Iyuv that was not written in the original Lashon HaKodesh, but rather was written in Aramaic. Va'amar lebanai shaku tachas anidbach afu tziva alav v'ganzu. And he says to the builders, you know what? Put it underneath one of the stones, meaning Geniza. And he, in fact, instructed and he commanded that this Sefer Iyuv that was written in Targum, that was not written in Lashon HaKodesh, should in fact be put in Geniza, meaning one is not allowed to read it. Meaning it should not have been written in Aramaic. And therefore, Rav Yossi is using all this to bolster his position, which is that it does not have the status of a Sefer, and therefore one's not salvaging it from a burning house. This is all the Shita of Rav Yossi. Now, obviously, we can pause over here, even though there's more Braisa to go through, but we see over here that Rav Huna is clearly subscribing to the viewpoint of Rav Yossi, which is that Sfarim that are written in other languages, which should not have been written in other languages, which basically what you should do with it is respectfully, I don't want to even say dispose of it, but respectfully put it away, otherwise known as Geniza. And if it were found in a burning house, one would not be salvaging it. Okay, so we clearly over here have the position of Rav Huna espoused by Rav Yossi. But let's continue now in the Braisa. Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, Omer, Areva Shaltit, Kapu Allah. Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda held up a very interesting position in terms of what they did with the Sefer Iyov that was written in Aramaic, and that is that they took cement and they poured cement on top of it. So Amar Rebbe Shechuvas Badav Rebbe says that version of the story I simply do not accept. Chada vechitit bahar abayis minayin. Tit using cement was not part and parcel of the construction of the Beis Hamikdash. I'd love to give more details in terms of how the Beis Hamikdash was constructed, and it was not done with cement. Rashi over here on the bottom gives more of a description in terms of the Beis Hamikdash, the building of the Beis Hamikdash, but cement was not part of the building process. So that's question number one. Va'od v'chimut ala avdam biyad. And also, think about what you're saying. They're pouring cement on Sfarim, meaning, granted, it's Eov written in Aramaic, and it shouldn't have been written. But now you're actively destroying it? That's not what Geniza is. Geniza is putting it in a location where it respectfully will decompose, not destroying it. So, ela minichem ha-makam ha-torfa. V'hein markivin me'aleha. What you do is you put it in an area which is exposed and allow it to decompose on its own. Ad kan divrei ha-braisa, that's the end of the braisa. Anyway, what we got from this entire braisa was that there is a position that does in fact espouse the viewpoint of Rav Huna, that even though you're writing a sefer in another language and you should not have done so, and you find it in a burning house, ein matzilim im ne'adleika, you do not save it from the burning house. Man tanai, so ilam etana kama de Rav Yossi. So the Gemara says now, Rav Huna presented as a machlokas tanai. The Gemara over here, as we turn to the Amud Beis, just wants to know, where exactly do we see a machlokas tanai? So do you want to tell me that the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi? V'duma, v'hakim iflugim, marsav v'nitni l'kros b'hem, or marsav v'lo'nitni l'kros b'hem. The Gemara says the machlokas Tanakhama and Rav Yossi could just simply be hinging on whether or not one is allowed to write Sefer Iyov in another language, or one is not allowed to write it. So it could very well be that Tanakhama subscribes to the viewpoint that one is allowed to write it. And so therefore, saving it from a burning house is obviously a no-brainer, meaning it has the status of being a sefer. Rav Yossi, on the other hand, is of the position, ain nosnin likros. You shouldn't have written it. And so therefore, Rav Yossi says, if it's in a burning house, you don't salvage it. You don't save it. So the Gemara says, so we don't see the machlokes of Rav Huna and Rav Chista in the Braisa, because the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi could just simply be arguing about whether or not it should or should not have been written to begin with. So the Gemara says, you're right. So the Gemara continues, Ella, Rav Yossi v'tana digiftis. So what we'll do is that we'll take the Tana Rav Yossi, the one that we just learned together, which clearly is espousing the view of Rav Huna, and obviously historically everyone here knows that Rav Huna is espousing the view of Rav Yossi. But okay, it's the same basic idea, and Rav Chisda's viewpoint is going to be articulated in the Braisa we had regarding the giftis. Meaning in the Braisa, it's one Braisa earlier. It's on the Amud Aleph, just two lines above. Hayiksuvim giftis midjus ivris ilmas yavanis. Even though it shouldn't have been written in that other language, but you save it from the burning house. That's the Braisa of giftis. That clearly is siding with the position of Rav Chisda. What we've just concluded is that machlokes between Rav Chisda and Rav Huna did not start with Rav Chisda and Rav Huna. Tanaihi. It's a machlokas amongst the Tanai. Tanu Rabbanan, as we are now in the Amud Beis, we're going to be shifting topics just a little bit. And that is the following brachos. Let's say you have a siddur that's written down. Now, all this to us seems to be a strange discussion, because siddurim written down is something which we all have. In fact, encouraged to use. So the Mishnah over here, the Braisa over here is going to be describing siddurim as if shouldn't have been written. Take a look at Rashi over here. When we talk about brachos, Rashi says we're describing matveya brachos shetavu chachamim kegon yudches v'shar brachos shmona esrei. So somebody wrote down shmona esrei, or continuing in the brayso kameos, kamein, the amulets that we already discussed a number of times. So amulets back then, so they are not sfarim, nevertheless they have psukim. Rashi gives a couple of examples. The komachala, shirsamti b'mitzrayim, or losirim mipachad layla, a person sick and wearing the amulet, so there are psukim in the amulet in order that the person will have incantations and it will provide some sort of therapy. Did the kameim work? So we already discussed it earlier in the Masechta. If written by somebody who knows what he's doing, so there could be an effectiveness to the kameya, which is what we discussed all the way back in the earlier prakim when we're talking about whether one is allowed to wear kamei on Shabbos. Anyway, so afa pi shi yesh bem osio shel shem uminyanos harbi shebetorah. Now it's got Shem Hashem, and it's got psukim of the Torah, ein matzil nosamim ne'ad leka, el nisrafim bim koman, v'hein v'azkar aseihem. So as far as what happens if the sidurim or the kameim are in a burning house, so you don't salvage them, you don't take them out. Now the reason why is because the allowance that the Chachamim gave in order of what you can save from the house is only Sifrei Tanakh. The Siddur is not part of Sifrei Tanakh. The Kameim are not part of Sifrei Tanakh. And even though there are citations of Psukim in both, nevertheless, they're not Sfarim. And therefore, the Chachamim did not allow them to be taken out. Mikan Amru Kosrei Brachos Kisrafei Torah. And the Braisa says, and the Braisa over here, it's really hard for us to relate to, but the Braisa writes that anyone who writes Sidurim, who publishes Sidurim, is like burning the Torah. Like burning the Torah, that's a really strong statement to make. But in the context of our discussion, we totally understand. Because what's going to end up happening if, in fact, the Siddur finds itself in a burning house, so what do you have to do? You have to leave it burning. So by writing the Siddur, it could ultimately lead to the burning of the Sidurim. So, Maisa Be'echash Ayakosev B'tzidon. So there was an incident where a person was writing it in the town of Tzidon. Vovidiyas Rabbi Yishmael, that Rabbi Yishmael was informed. Vahalach Rabbi Yishmael Levod Ko. Rabbi Yishmael went to go ahead and check it out. Kishayola Basulam, when he went on the ladder, Hirgishbo, the person writing realized that Rabbi Yishmael is coming and doing an inspection and did not want to be caught with these Sidurim and these Kameim. Natal, Tumas Shel Brachos, he took a number of the manuscripts of the Sidurim, Vishakam B'Sefer Shamayim, and he threw it into the water. He tried to get rid of the evidence. Uvelashon hazeh amar Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel was very upset with him, and he said the following in this language: Gadol onesh ha'achron min harishon. That which you did now is the worse than what you originally done. Meaning you were writing the Siddurim, which in of itself is something you should not be doing. And meanwhile, now that you actively destroyed it, that's even worse. Because even as we said, the writing of the Siddurim is like burning a Sefer Torah, that just simply means that if it's found in a burning house, so it will be burned. But that's, of course, passively. You went ahead and you actively destroyed it. What you did is even worse. Gemara over here clearly is taking a position that the Siddurim should not be written down, and neither the Kameim, because of the fact that it may end up getting burnt in a burning house where you won't be able to salvage it. Is that going to be the halacha nowadays as well? Meaning that one is not allowed to write Siddurim, and one cannot take the Siddurim out of the burning house. So for that, I direct you to a Tosfos on the Amud Aleph. Turn back to the Amud Aleph and take a look at the second Tosfos. Tosfos writes over here, Aliba Daman Damar Ninna Lukros Bahem Kulam Lo Pligi De Matzilin Vehashta Sfarim Shalanu Matzilin Dinitnu Lukros Bahem Mishum Eis Lasos Lashem Eferes Rosecha Kedamran Behani Zakin. So Tosfos points out over here. Now, to be fair, contextually, Tosfos over here is describing where Sfarim are written in other languages. Meaning what Tosfos over here is noting is the following. We know that an allowance was given. An allowance was given so that Torah Shabbat Peh could be written down. The Gemara in Gittin describes it in detail, but obviously, what are we reading right now? We're reading Mishnah in Gemara. This is Torah Shabbat Peh, and obviously, a decision was made that it is going to be written down. The decision is predominantly attributed to that of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the editor, and the organizer of the Mishnayos, and so. Once the Torah Shabbat Peh has an allowance to be written down, so therefore, what Tosfos over here is arguing is that if we have any of the Sifrei Tanakh written in other languages, effectively, what are we looking at over here? It is a version of Torah Shabbat Peh. Think about it. Really, it's interesting. It makes a lot of sense. Meaning that Torah Shabbat Peh is obviously an understanding of the Torah Shabbat Chsav. Torah Shabbat Chsav rigidly, legally, is only the Sfarim that are written in the original language. That's Torah Shabbat Chsav. Once I give any kind of interpretation, so that falls under the category, and by the way, it has to be an accepted interpretation, right? But once I give an interpretation, so then that now falls under the category of Torah Shabbat Peh. The Sfarim that are written in other languages, oddly enough, but once you see the organization, once you see the way we're breaking it down, any of the Sfarim that are written in other languages really file under the category of Torah Shabbat Peh. What Tosfos is trying to argue is that nowadays that there's an allowance to have Torah Shabbat Peh written down, so then one is allowed to salvage even Sfarim that are written in other languages. That is what Tosfos proposes in the beginning of the Perek. Now perhaps, and I am extending the idea of Tosfos, and I'm admitting that, but perhaps over here regarding the Siddurim, also, this falls under the category of there is now an allowance for it to be written down. And so therefore, one would maybe, in fact, be allowed to salvage it from the burning house. But to call the Siddur a part and parcel of Torah Shabbat Peh, it may be a bit of a stretch. And it's obviously, it's tefillah, it's a mitzvah. But to file it under the category of Torah Shabbat Peh, maybe yes, maybe no. It's certainly something worthwhile to consider. We're going to go back to the Gemara. We're continuing now in the Daf. We are a third of the way down on Kuftes Vav Amud Beis, Bamine Reish Galusa, May Rava Barav Huna. Hayiksuvim Besama Besikra Bekumus Vekan Ketum Beloshon HaKodesh Matzilin Som Ibn Adelaika O Ein Matzilin. Question over here, another, a slightly different version of our general discussion of this morning. Let's say that the Sfarim were written down, and they were written in Lashon Kodesh, but they were not written B'dio. They were not written in permanent ink. The question over here deals with a number of other inks that are just simply not permanent. What these inks translate into? So you can see Rashi over here. I'm sure the art school also gives a very good attempt in terms of translating what each one of these inks are. They're all various different types of inks that are not permanent. And one is not allowed to write a sefer with these non-permanent inks. But let's say you did. And the question now becomes, so you have now Sfarim in your house. in Lashon HaKodesh, but not written in Dio. So are you allowed to save them? So Tibay Laman Damar Matzilin, Tibay Laman Damar Ein Matzilin. The Gemara says that this question is going to be either for Rav Huna or for Rav Chista, and it will present a question for either one of them. Tibay Laman Damar Ein Matzilin. Let's start with the sheet of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that one is not allowed to save any one of the Sifrei Tanakh if it's written in other languages. So Hani Milahecha Diksiva Targum. Uvechalashon, that's only because it was written in other languages. But maybe over here, it's written in Lashon HaKodesh, albeit it's not written b'dio, but it's written in Lashon HaKodesh. Or let's take Rav Chista's position. The Rav Chista allowance to go ahead and save Sfarim, even if written in other languages, is that it's written in a permanent ink. But over here, it's not being written in a permanent ink, and maybe he would say no. Amar le ein matzilin. Okay, so the question was posed, and now the answer, this question was posed by Reish Galusa to Rava Barav Huna, and Rava Barav Huna says, ein matzilin. So the Gemara says, v'ha Rav Hamanuna tana matzilin. So the counter argument is Rav Hamanuna quotes a brisa, and the brisa says that you are, in fact, allowed to save it. So Amar le itanya tana. He says, look, I have an opinion. I thought about it, but if he has a brisa, so the brisa is going to take precedence over whatever my position is. My Tanya, the Gemara says, what brisa is he talking about? I'm Rav Ashi Gita Tanya, the following brisa. Ein bein Sfarim le Megillah ala Sfarim nechtavim bechol Lashon. So the differences between Sfarim and the Megillah, Megillah Sester, is that when it comes to the Sfarim, they can be written in any language. U Megillah ad shetek suva. Now, as far as the Megillah is concerned, it must be written, Ashuris, in the block Hebrew letters. As we're looking at our page of Gemara, that is Ksav Ashuris. It doesn't look exactly like the letters as they present in the Sefer Torah. The letters of the Sefer Torah have extraordinarily detail-oriented instructions on how each letter is to be written, but the shape of each letter is basically looking like the letters as they present in the Gemara. That is what's called Ksav Ashuris, as opposed to Ksav Ivri. There's another way to write the letters of the Aleph Beis. The academics describe it as a Phoenician script. You can look it up and you can see exactly what they look like. The general distinction between Ksav Ashuris and Ksav Ivri is Ksav Ashuris is basically angular in nature. They're block letters. Ksav Ivri is more circular in nature as a general way of describing the differences between them. Anyway, the Gemara Sanhedrin. There towards the beginning of the Masechta, Daf Chaf, Chaf Aleph, so there has a discussion and a debate in terms of what was the original presentation of the letters of the Aleph Beis, Ksav Ivri or Ksav Ashuris. Anyway, Sfarim are to be written in Ksav Ashuris, and the Brice over here says that the Megillah has to be written in Ksav Ashuris, Al HaSefer has to be written on Klaf, Uvidio, and in permanent ink. Now that's something that is specific to the Megillah as opposed to the other Sfarim, where even though it's not written on parchment, and even though it's not written b'dio, so it still is going to have the status of being a sefer. And so here the Brisa is teaching us that if I have other Sfarim of Tanakh that are written in non-dio ink, non-permanent ink, still has the status of a sefer, and obviously one is allowed to salvage it from a burning house. V'amine Rav Huna bar Chalov, me Rav Nachman, Sefer Torah she'im bo l'lakish one v'chamish osios, kigon parshas v'yibin so Aaron. Now we're talking about the base minimum number of letters that a sefer has in order for it to have the status of being a sefer. And the Gemara over here selects the number 85 letters. Now why 85 letters? We're going to be discussing this extensively in tomorrow's daf, and that is the Parsha Vayhi Ben Soa. In Parsha's Baloscha, which is a composite of two psukim, 85 letters, so that is what's called the smallest parsha in Bechol HaTorah Kula. Tomorrow we're going to be discussing in much greater detail. Anyway, let's say you have the remnants of a sefer and it has 85 letters. Do I save it or do I not save it? It has the same number that corresponds to the psukim of Vayhi Ben Soa. Amar Leviti Bailach, Parsha Vayhi Ben Soa Aron Gufa. He says, you know, it's so interesting. Meaning, why are you asking about where I have 85 letters like the Parsha Vayhi Ben Soa? Why not just ask about Vayhi Ben Soa? So hech the chasa parshas vehi min soa lo kimi bailei de kevin di isle baas karas afagad alei spei shmonim v'chamesh osios matzilin. He says, I'll tell you why I didn't ask about vehi min soa. Because vehi min soa, that parsha, as small as it is, with only its 85 letters, I'll let you in a little secret. Even if it had less than 85 letters, you still would be saving it. Why? Because that is Shem Hashem. So Shem Hashem is written in there. And once you have Shem Hashem, so then Matzilim and Mnei Adleika, so then you're going to salvage it. Even with less than 85. Ki kami bayili, Sefer Torah she'ein bo lake. What I'm describing over here is, let's say, Sefer Torah, where it only has 85 letters, and it doesn't have Shem Hashem. My. So Amar le'ein Matzilim. So his answer is, you don't salvage it. If the Sefer is so worn out, or it was cut out from a larger Sefer, and it doesn't have the requisite 85 letters, and it doesn't have Shem Hashem, so his answer is you don't save it. Eisve, the Gemara challenges with the Brisa Targum Shekasu Mikra. Let's say I have a Targum that was written in Lashon HaKodesh, or Mikra Shekasu Targum, or I have something which was originally written in Lashon HaKodesh, written in Targum, V'Ksav Ivris, and it was written in the Phoenician script, Matzilim and Me'adleika. So one is allowed to save them from a fire. Ve'ein tzarich lamar targum shebe'ezra, u'shebe'daniel, u'shebe'torah. And it goes without saying that if it was supposed to be written in Targum, there are selections of Tanakh that are written in Aramaic. Sections of Sefer Ezra, a good part of Sefer Daniel, a couple of words throughout the actual Chumash itself that are written in Aramaic. The Gemara says, what exactly is that? Targum shebe'torah mayniu, yigar sa'adusa. In one of the last conversations between Lavan, I think it is the last conversation, between Lavan and Yaakov. So when they make a treaty with one another, so they do so by a rock that is described as Gal'ed, which is the Hebrew, and then the Pasuk describes that Lavan describes it as yigar sa'adusa. Lavan being an Aramaic speaker, so he calls it, he gives it an Aramaic name. Obviously, the word Yigar Sadusa, which is part and parcel of the Chumash, is Aramaic. So obviously, those, when writing a Chumash, obviously, you write that in the Aramaic. The Afagav, the Leis Beish Monim B'Chamesh Osios. Now, what the Gemara over here is noting is the following. So here we're saying that if I have any section of Tanakh where it's written in Hebrew or in Aramaic, and even if it was supposed to be written in Hebrew and written in Aramaic, or vice versa, and it goes without saying that it was supposed to be written in Aramaic and you wrote in Aramaic, so then you salvage it from a burning house. Now, the word Yigar Sa'adusa is a far cry from having 85 letters, and the Brisa says you're saving it from a burning building. So the Gemara says, no, don't get confused. Kitanya hi lahashlin. No, the word Yigar Sa'adusa obviously is not 85 letters, but what we're saying is that if that, in conjunction with other words of the Chumash, are burning in the house, and the Yigar Sa'adusa is making up the 85 letters, so then you go ahead and you salvage it. Ibai Lahu, last question for this morning. Now, when we're saying that these 85 letters are going to be the base minimum number of letters in order for a Sefer to have Kedusha, in order to save it from a burning house, do those letters have to be contiguous to one another, that is mikunasos, or could they be scattered throughout the Chumash? Meaning the other letters are totally worn out, and all I have is a scattering of 85 letters amongst the Chumash. So the Gemara wants to know, is there a requirement that they have to be actual succession of one another? Rav Huna Amar mikunasos, Rav Chista Amar afilu mifuzaros. And so a machlokus amongst the Amoraim, same principles as we've been discussing all morning, Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Rav Huna says that they have to be in succession, and Rav Chista said they can be scattered throughout the Chumash. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges from a Braisa. Sefer Torah Shabbalei Mishbo Lelaki Shmonim B'Chamesh Osios Kegon Parsha Vehim Mitzorah Matzilim Ve'im Lav Ein Matzilim. So if you have a Sefer Torah where there are 85 letters, like the Parsha of Vayihi Mitzorah, so then you can go ahead and save it, otherwise you cannot save it. Now, over here, when it says, like the Parsha of Vayihi Mitzorah, why are we using that as an example, aside from the fact that, of course, it has 85 letters? Because over there, it's 85 letters that are written in succession. And what it sounds like over here is that in order to save a sefer from a burning house, the 85 letters have to be written in succession. Tziyufta de Rav Huna. So this obviously is now going to be problematic for Rav Huna. Sorry, let me present the question the other way, the correct way. And that is that it says in the Braisa, im yesh bo lelaket shmonim v'chamesh osios. Even if I could collect 85 letters, meaning that it seemingly over here is scattered throughout the chumash. The way the Gemara originally understood the Braisa is not that it is supporting Rav Huna, just the opposite. I said it wrong originally. Just the opposite. It is a challenge to Rav Huna. So Tikkum Rav Chista, leave it to Rav Huna betevos. So Rav Chista says, no, let me defend Rav Huna, even though I'm arguing with Rav Huna, but we're not interested in the argument, we're interested in the truth. And so I'm going to defend Rav Huna. And the way that we can understand the Braisa is that, yes, it's true, it's scattered, but what it means to say is that it's scattered words. Scattered words, everyone agrees, you save the Sefer Torah. The only question that we are discussing, Rav Huna and Rav Chista, if they're scattered letters. Under those circumstances, even though there are 85 of them, but they're scattered letters, is that going to be enough to give the status of a Sefer Torah? That's the debate. But if they're scattered words, a word has more significance, and so if I have now these scattered words, but collectively they make up 85 letters, then it goes without saying that one is allowed to salvage a Sefer Torah. Let's quickly recap our morning. We started the 16th parak of the Masechta. We are discussing the rabbinic concern that when the house is on fire, and as I said in the beginning of Shir today, and there is no potential loss of life, if there is loss of life, so then obviously you put out the fire. But there's no potential loss of life. So the Chachamim now were worried. The more you are allowed to save and salvage from the house, so the more apt one is going to be to put out the fire. So what the Chachamim did is they put a cap in terms of what could be saved from the house. We're learning in our perek that Kisvei Kodesh can be salvaged. Kisvei Kodesh can be salvaged, assuming that it has a status of being a sefer. And what we discussed this morning are basically the parameters of what is basically the prerequisites of being a sefer. Our first discussion today, first before we get to the Gemara, just in terms of review. The Mishnah describes that there are Sfarim that are read and Sfarim that are not read. And that was a really striking comment of the Mishnah. But we explained that on Shabbos, there is an allowance to read Navi, Nevi'im, but there is actually a disallowance. The Chachamim really push us away from reading Ksuvim on Shabbos. And Rashi explained back in the Mishnah that if we end up reading Ksuvim on Shabbos, we're going to be then very tempted to stay on the Ksuvim. It is the most interesting of the Sifrei Tanakh, and so therefore it is interesting. It's Mishle, it's Eov, it's the Megillos. So right there's narration, there's philosophy, right? It's interesting. On the other hand, it's going to take us away from the halacha, and so on Shabbos a person should be focused on the halacha. And so the Chachamim said, don't read the Ksuvim. Better to go to shul, listen to the Rav Darshan, and explain Isser V'Heter rather than be sitting and reading Ksuvim. Okay. Anyway, with that stated, the Mishnah tells us that anything that has the status of being a sefer is to be saved. Our first discussion today, which took us through the entirety of the Amud Aleph, is that let's say we subscribe to the viewpoint that Sfarim can only be written in the original Lashon HaKodesh, and it shouldn't be written in other languages, but somebody went ahead and wrote it in other languages. Under those circumstances, the house of burning is one allowed to salvage that. Machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Rav Huna says you cannot save it, and Rav Chista says you can. And the Gemara went back and forth on that for the entirety of the Amud Aleph. On the Amud Beis, the following four, well, let's call them three topics were discussed. One, what about the writing of Sidurim and Kameim, which at the time of the Mishnah was frowned upon. One is not allowed to write Sidurim and Kameim because it has Psukim. On the other hand, it's not Sfarim, it doesn't have the status of being a sefer. If discovered in a burning house, one is not allowed to take them out, one is not allowed to salvage them. And so therefore, writing a Siddur is like Sorfin a Torah. It's like burning a Torah because of the circumstance. Same thing is true with regarding Kameim. That was our first discussion on the Amud Beis. Our second discussion on the Amud Beis, let's say it was written in Lashon HaKodesh, but it was not written with permanent ink. Does that have the status of a sefer? So the Gemara vacillated on that. The Gemara ends up quoting a Braisa that says that it does have the status of a sefer. And finally, our last discussion today, the minimum letters that a sefer must have in order for it to have the status of being a sefer, the answer is 85 letters. Why 85 letters? Because the shortest portion of the Torah, Vayehi Mitzora, has in fact 85 letters, and that now will set up the base minimum of what is going to have, what is going to be a sefer that has the status of being a sefer, thereby allowing me to salvage it from a burning house. The Gemara then has a follow-up question, do those letters have to be mikunasos or not mikunasos? And the Gemara had a machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Chista on that issue. We stop over here. We pick it up, Mirza Hashem, tomorrow.